أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا كان يستوتن روز إن شاء الله يحسن
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله
أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم.
ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
After remaining Azkar, there will be a short reminder. All brothers are requested to join in, participate. And of course, today is a Friday. The time between Asr and Maghrib is very precious. Encouragement to everyone to make sure that they stay engaged in dhikr, tilawat al-Quran, and especially the time between Asr and Maghrib on a Friday is a moment of du'as being readily accepted, especially also the addition of before breaking your fast. So just a reminder for everyone. But inshallah, after remaining adhkar, there will be a reminder as well. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير بك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. Respected brothers, elders, alhamdulillah, we are continuing with our series in regards to how to attain or increase our levels of taqwa. So the first two illnesses of the heart. So the author, he is mentioning that there are eight limbs in which deeds or sins are associated to. The first being the heart, thereafter the hand, the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the legs, the stomach, and also the private area. And for each of these limbs and each of these areas, there are sins and deeds which are associated to them. So the first beginning point is the heart. And the first point that was mentioned in regards to one of the maladies fundamentally is disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was of three types. And the first type also moves into the second illness. And this is ignorance. Because a person, due to his ignorance, it can lead a person to completely denying and not seeing and not being aware, being a state of oblivion. He's oblivious to the signs of Allah. This is jahalat. This is ignorance. He's not looking at signs to be able to take him to a meaningful point of reflection, to ask himself, what is the purpose of life? And this, of course, also encompasses Muslims as well, especially since a lot of us, we are born into Muslim households, so there's no requirement for us to kind of undertake a journey with our own initiative, to kind of search the truth for ourselves. It's all been handed on a plate to us. So then moving on, there's also the second type of disbelief. And this is the disbelief of juhud, inad, stubbornness, out of really resisting, really wanting to be arrogant. And the reason for this, وَسَبَبُهُ الْإِسْتِكْبَارِ, haughtiness, arrogance, pride. And this is the disbelief of the likes of Fir'aun and his likes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا عَالِينَ. They were acting in arrogant ways. They were haughty. And they were people that would transgress. And similarly, قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. They rejected, completely, absolutely, intently denied the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the message of Islam, despite when Musa alayhi salam, he came to Fir'aun, he completely rejected and denied. Whilst at the same time, himself internally, they had belief. Internally, they believed that what the message was is actually completely true. But they transgressed and they denied out of dhulm, wrongfully and out of arrogance. And this brings us to our third illness of the heart. And this is حُبُّ الرِّيَاسَةَ الدُّنْيَوِيَّةَ وَهُوَ ثَالِثْ مِنْ أَمْرَادِ الْقَلْبِ. That this is the disease of leadership. Because of the position Fir'aun and the likes they occupied, because of their wealth, because of the lifestyle that they were enjoying, they would not allow themselves to give in to the message of Islam. Because what that meant was that they would be now subjecting themselves to a set of rules, a criteria that is now going to be completely free. Because they, through their arrogance, were able to change the rules and allow themselves to put themselves into a position that they are not suitable for. And similarly, this worry of losing their positions of leadership and authority, it leads to their disbelief, unfortunately. The person's attachment to it, it makes them such that they huge, huge deal. They miss out on the salvation the hereafter because of their attachment towards leadership. And this was a case of Hiraqal as well. So the mention of Hiraqal comes, and the author says that when the letter of giving da'wah to Islam came from Hiraqal, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he read it, or he commanded somebody else around to read the letter. And after reading the letter, internally, inside himself, he understood that, you know what? This is the truth. There's no denying what he is coming with, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is absolutely undeniable truth. But instead, what did he do? He said that take this letter and take it to a priest. Perhaps him being a priest, he will be sincere and he will bring relief. And at least that way, the people, they can now be exposed to the truth, because I don't want to just yet. I'm worried about the situation with myself. So he says, عَسَىٰ أَن يُؤْمِنَ فَيَقْتَدُوا بِهِ. Perhaps the people, they will believe, and because he's the priest, most likely his heart will be soft to the truth. So then he sent his messenger, and they went, and the priest, he read the letter. فَصَدَّقَهُ فَآمَنَ وَدَعَى قَوْمَهُ إِلَىٰ دِينِهِ فَقَتَلُوهُ. That the priest, he read the letter and he was convinced that this is the haqq. That Islam, Iman in one Allah, and the messengerhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to be the truth. So he believed in the message. He believed in Islam and he brought Iman. Then what happened? He then called his congregation, he called his people, and he told them the message of Islam. And as soon as he done this, they all came together and they killed the priest. And now this message, of course, this situation unfolded with Hiraqal, and he saw this. So then he received the news, and then he says to himself, لَوْلَا خَوْفَ هَذِهِ لَأَذْهَرْتُ. That had it not been my fear that this would be the situation, that if I show my Islam and my belief, then that would have been the same case with me. ثُمَّ لَمَّا رَجَعَ إِلَىٰ دَارِ سُلْطَنَتِهِ بَلْدَةَ حِمْسْ أَتَاهُ مَكْتُوبٌ مِّنْ صَاحِبِ لَهُ فَيُمَاثِلُهُ فِي الْعِلْمِ يُخْبِرُ فِيهِ شَأْنَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ النُّبُوَّةِ فَجَمَعَ عُظَمَاءَ الرُّومِ وَعَرَضَ مُتَابَعَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَأَعْرَضُوا وَنَفَرُوا عَنْهُ. So then he went back to his kingdom, and similar again, another letter came, a follow-up came from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then what he did, he called all his ministers in his palace, and he just presented the thought to them, that what do you think about this letter, this message of this religion of Islam? So they heard it, and as soon as they heard it, they got angry, they rejected it, and they started going against him. And then as soon as he noticed that they are turning a bit hostile, فَلَمَّا أَيْسَ مِنْ إِيمَانِهِمْ رَدَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. He understood, okay, there's no chance of Iman being accepted with these people over here. So what did he do? وَاعْتَذَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِأَنَّ مُرَادِ اِخْتِبَارُ شِدَّةِ ثَبَاتِكُمْ فِي دِينِكُمْ. He says that I was only testing you. I was only joking, I was only seeing how much is your level of commitment to the deen that you are upon right now. This is what he did. So then what happened? فَسَجَدُوا لَهُ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ فَآثَرَ الْكُفْرَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ خَوْفَ زَوَالِ رِيَاسَتِهِ. So then they all prostrated towards him, and they were pleased with him. And this is how Hiraqal, unfortunately, he preferred disbelief over Iman due to the fear of the discontinuation of his position of authority. This aspect of wanting power, wanting leadership, is very, very dangerous. And it affects us on a very domestic scale as well, at homes as well. There are a few examples that just crossed the mind, inshallah, I'd just like to pose to us. That sometimes there are issues at home, there are issues in our direct, immediate families, amongst siblings. You have the elder sibling, they want to dictate family matters. They have noticed that the parents have become a bit elder, so they take advantage of these kind of situations, and the siblings themselves, they do not consult their parents. Whilst parents still being alive, they take advantage of their weakness, and they start colluding, and they start, you know, making groups within the siblings, and they create such level of fitna, of friction, that between themselves they end up stop talking to one another. Individuals, they don't go to their own siblings' homes, and the parents, they have not a single level of strength to be able to bring some level of sound reason to the situation. You have individuals who are not even part of the direct family. They have married into the family. They've married the elder sister of the home. And because they are the eldest brother-in-law, they believe that now I have been given this authority, I have been given this position. If there are marriage talks that are taking place with the younger siblings of this family that is not my blood relative, I have to be involved. It has to be done through me. And if it doesn't, then it's going to be a huge fuss. There's marriages. A person wants to get married, but he can't get married. Why? Because his sister, older sister, is delaying the situation. How can you possibly get married before me? Younger sister has children before the elder sister. How dare you have children before me? Situations like this, unfortunately, is true because people have a power struggle. And this is an example, it's an insight as to having this, you know, attachment to power, holding on to authority, leadership in wrongful ways, it corrupts the family. It breaks down family relationships. And this is exactly shown in the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the authority of Ka'b ibn Malik, narrated in Sunan Abi Dawud wa Tirmidhi. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He says, مَا ذِئْبَانِ جَائِعَانِ أُرْسِلَ فِي غَنَمٍ بِأَفْسَدَ لَهَا مِنْ حِرْصِ الْمَرْءِ عَلَى الْمَالِ وَشَرْفِ لِدِينِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That two hungry wolves, they are starved and they are unleashed upon a group of cattle. They are not more corrupt, they are not more savage than that individual, that man who has hirs, he has this greed, he has this real want and desire over wealth and honor and position. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's really painting the picture. The way the savages, these wolves, they will be set upon a group of cattle, they are not going to leave anything behind. They're going to ruin everything. Same way, as soon as this level of greed, this wanting of position, hubbeja, they say, this desire for wealth and all these things, it's just going to damage every single aspect of our lives. People will double cross, backstab their own relatives. One sheikh, he was mentioning to me, mentioning to a group of us, a situation of inheritance. The parents passed away and they left a fortune of £1 million plus in inheritance. And this is to be distributed according to Sharia. What did the brothers do? The eldest brothers, they have a sister. They say, you just take a couple of £1,000 and we're going to have to take the rest because we have to take control of the matters of the home. Zulm. For greed of money, they completely denied the right of the sister. The sister is already grieving the death of the parents. On top of that, they are trying to just completely take away her right, despite the fact that this is your younger sister. This is someone who you should be supporting. You're meant to make sure that you're taking care of. And the stipulation of the mirath, the inheritance for her, would be a lot greater. Our own blood relatives, this is what, you know, our greed, our desire for wealth does. One uncle was telling me that he came to this country, he gave his brother money. He invested into his brother to open up businesses in the country of their origin. And he done so. Now, fast forward, when this brother now is in need, he done so as an investment that once you make your return, inshallah, it will be, you should pay back. This was the agreement. And then what happened? When this uncle is now reaching the age of need, his family, they are, you know, realizing that he's coming nearer to his old age, 70 plus almost. The brother, despite having all this money that he has now amassed, the conversation goes and he says that I'd like to see you try and take it from me. I'd like to see you try and take this from me. Let's see what you do. Come here and take it from me directly, physically. This brother, he helped him, put him on his feet. He allowed him to have a source of income, to be able to take care of himself. And this is the treatment that you get. This is the greed that position, power, money, wealth can bring to us. And it goes hand in hand in the following narration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions on the authority of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that حَسْبُمْ رِئِن مِنِ الشَّرْ إِلَّا مَنْ عَصَمَهُ اللَّهُ أَن يُشِيرَ يشير الناس إليه بالأصابع في دينه ودنياه. Sorry, not this hadith, the next hadith. And Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حب الثناء من الناس يعمي ويصم. كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That the love of praise from the people, it causes a person to become blind and deaf. Okay, a person to have this sense of honor through which he is now praised. He has wealth through which he is now given some level of credit. He believes that now once people are saying these few words to him, mashallah, you are so wealthy, you are so amazing, you're a top businessman, you're all of these sort of things. As soon as he hears these things, he starts to now believe his own reputation, his false reputation. And this brings him such yaqeen in himself. He believes that he's completely definite like this. It makes him blind and deaf to any type of words of correction, of critical kind of correction, and he will do whatever he feels like, because he's getting that level of reinforced verification now. So likewise, this aspect of taqwa, we have to start off with looking into ourselves. Are there aspects of this where I struggle with power? A few other examples. When it comes to wedding planning, power struggles. It's going to be the older siblings that tries to dictate how the wedding should be. Who gets more attention in the family? Who is more knowledgeable in Islam? Deciding on family gatherings. Who takes charge during funerals? Inheritance. We've already spoke about this. Controlling the family business. These aspects of riyasat, of leadership, it's not about, unfortunately, just because you're older in age. These are things where you have to have particular level of skills. You have to have an expertise. You have to have a leadership skill. You have to be intelligent, emotionally intelligent. You have to understand the needs and requires of the people under you and deal with them in a particular manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Anzilu an-nas manazilahum," that treat people according to their status, according to their situation. You speak to them according to their context. This is an aspect teaching us leadership, how we, when if we are in positions of authority, we have to speak to different children in a different way. We have to speak to our wives in a particular way. Everyone has to be treated according to how, what their circumstances are. This is intelligence. In another situation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and one of the companions was given a particular responsibility. And then, as soon as that happened, another companion, he stood up and he said, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can I also be given this responsibility as well?" And in that instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understanding that duties and tasks are only applicable to the level of expertise that are found in a person, politely rejected and made the Sahabi understand that inshallah something else will come up and you can take responsibility over something else, because this is not for you. This is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. That positions of authority is not just a case of, you know, feeding our ego. It's a case of accountability. We have to be very, very responsible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author carries on that the causes of this aspect of wanting leadership is of three types. The first, التوسل بالجاه إلى ما حرم من المشتهيات النفس ومراداتها وهذا حرام. That the different elements of desire for leadership is to, through your status, through your position, you want to attain what has been made prohibited from you, that gives you some level of fulfillment of your desires. And this is something which is haram. The second is through your التوسل به إلى أخذ الحق وتحصيل المراد مرام المستحب. That through having assumed a position, you now seek to take the haqq. You seek to take something which is rightfully applicable to you and which is allowed. And you are doing so in order to prevent لِدَفْعِ الظُّلْمِ وَالشَّوَاغِلِ وَالتَّفَرُّغِ لِلْعِبَادَةِ, in order to repel any evil, repel any injustices that might take place. Or you do so that you can also allow yourself to be freed up for worship. Or that you can discharge the rights. وَإِعْزَازِ الدِّينِ, or because through this, through your taking this position, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be honored. وَإِصْلَاحِ الْخَلْقِ بِالْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, or through you taking this position of authority, the rectification of the people will be taken place through commanding of good and prohibiting from evil. And this is all well and good if a person is free, he is clear from any riya, from any ostentation showing off, or any talbis, or any deception, وَتَرْكِ الْوَاجِبِ, or if it doesn't mean that he is now going to abandon the wajibat or the sunnah, then all this is allowed. Having assumed a position like this, rather it is liked, it is desirable. Now here is something that many times, just as we spoke about, positions of leadership and authority are through selection of who's the best in the sense of their expertise. But in other situations, you might have moments where unfortunately unfit people are there, and you may have a particular set of skills which can bring about the rectification of a particular group or a particular community. So here it's actually advisable that you step up and you present yourself that this is my education, where I've studied, this is what I produced, this is my resume, see inshallah if you believe I can be a useful addition to this this group or this project. And this we take from the life of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. When he was thrown into the prison, after he came out, he gave the interpretation of the dream to the king, and there was going to be a few seasons of drought that will take place. And in that moment, Yusuf alayhi salam, he mentioned that appoint me as the minister of finance, because فَإِنِّي حَفِيظٌ عَلِيمٌ. I will be hafiz. Hafiz means a person that will protect and take care of the amana that is due upon him, and he is ameen. You will find me to be trustworthy. So here is a proof that what Yusuf alayhi salam is not desiring position for the sake of the blameworthy reasons, but rather is because around in that time he was the person that is fit for the job, and he should take that position because he will now bring islah for the community and for the people. Again, going back to this point again, now it's not to do with this particular masjid, but there's masajid that I've seen in Tower Hamlets. One of my colleagues has mentioned that there are people that sit in the committee and they have such a power trip. They cannot handle any musalli, any volunteer, anyone giving any type of suggestion regarding a particular activity that could cause some benefit in the masjid. They are there to just make sure that no one is a threat to their position in their committee. They just want to make sure that this is their masjid. They are spending however many days or weeks and months. This is my masjid, this is our masjid, we established this, and this is how we're going to run it. Very, very, you know, unapproachable, and cannot bring any type of benefit to the community, unfortunately. These people are not fit for the job. They are making a masjid which the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being allowed to flourish. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَن يُذْكَرَ فِي حَسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. Direct ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the direct verse of Quran, that who is more unjust? وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Who is more unjust than the one who prevents the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his dhikr being mentioned? A huge condemnation, that if you are occupying these positions and we're just worried about having a nice retirement project that we do with our friends, is very, very dangerous. Because Allah is directing this message to us or to those individuals, that you are amongst the most unjust individuals, that you are blocking the flourishing of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the masajid. And then thirdly, Allah, the author mentions, التلذذ به نفسه وظنه كمالا وهذا كحب المال للتنعم والتلذذ به فإن خلع عن المحظور فليس بحرام ولكنه مذموم لكون صاحبه مقصور الهم على مراعاة الخلق وخوف تأديته إلى المرادات لأجلهم والنفاق بإظهار ما ليس فيه من الكمالات لاقتناص القلوب والتلبيس والخدعة والكذب والعجب ونحوها. So he says that the third aspect related to having desire for position is a person to take enjoyment and delight with his nafs, because he believes this is something, this he has made it, this position he has made it, and he has this the same way he would have for the love of wealth and to enjoy the luxuries and the fruits of having a massive amount of money. However, if by him just merely enjoying so, but it is empty, he is free from being someone that is not worthy of it, he is free from someone that is not fulfilling the haq, the duties, then it is not haram. However, it is still blameworthy to have this attachment because of this person being very lowly ambitious. His ambition is just to occupy this and he's happy. He's not there with a greater goal, the greater goal of serving mankind. If he was like this, if this was his situation, then you could say, mashallah, he's doing something very praiseworthy. But his ambition is that he just wants to take this seat, but he's not doing anything else to cause any dhulm. But this is still very problematic. And this is something that perhaps a lot of us, we need to understand. We need to raise the bar a little bit. We need to go beyond the small little sibling rivalry. We need to go beyond the situations at home. You might see a family member and they might speak in a particular way. But take yourself above and beyond that situation. Forget about the actual problem, the fight, the argument, the conflict. Ask yourself that it's quite sad that there's a problem in our house. How can I bring rectification? The person that leaves argumentation whilst they're in the right, then what happens for them? They have a palace in the middle of paradise. We have to think like this. We have to be above and beyond these small little skirmishes, because what's at stake? Our families at stake. And when our families are at stake, broken homes, then the children of that home, what's going to happen to them? They're going to seek comfort and acceptance in other places that they're not finding in families. Families provide stability. It keeps you anchored. It keeps you comfortable. It keeps you warm. It keeps you secure. You're mentally very secure in your home. The comfort that you get from your parents, eating with your parents, spending time with them. You're not going to have this desire to constantly find acceptance elsewhere. Families are so important. So we have to look above and beyond. If it means that you leave this conflict for the, and you know you're right, then you have to start thinking. We have to start thinking like this, inshallah. So anyway, I think we've extended the time quite a bit. Let's just read a few more lines, because it speaks regarding the ilaj. So he says, وَعِلَاجُهُ أَن يَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِكَمَالٍ حَقِيقِيٍ لِفَنَائِهِ. That he, a person, the way to treat himself is that you should realize that this is not the end all and be all. This is not something, this aspect of occupying a position of authority and leadership, this is not what is the main objective. This is just a means for a greater goal. This position, this authority is a means for a greater reason. If a person is there, then he's there to make sure that the family unit is running smoothly. If he's someone in a community and he's put in a position of leadership, then he has to realize that this position of authority is for the greater good of the whole entire community. His actions has to be such that how can everyone be benefiting through this project or whatever it might be. So this is not the thing. And he also should realize وَمَعْرِفَةُ غَوَائِلِهِ الْمَذْكُورَ, the dangers that were already mentioned in regards to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that the two hungry wolves set on the cattle, they are not as much savage as the person that has desire and greed for wealth. And these are some of the things that inshallah, that if a person does, they will be able to try to refrain. وَأَقَ الطُّرُقُ, and the most strong ways to cut off this love for jah, this position. الْاِعْتَزَالُ عَنِ النَّاسِ إِلَى مَوْضِعٍ خَمُولٍ, that to refrain, to try to stay away from people and their praise. Because the more you interact and engage people and you try to stay aloof, then the less, you know, these words of praises are going to come, and the less they're going to fill your head. So try to be aloof. Try to keep your goal and mission sincere by yourself. You interact as how and when you need. But as soon as you're done, then finish. You go and go about your regular routine. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and understanding what has been mentioned. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanallah bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.